Wisconsin politicians' response to the fatal shooting of a woman in Minneapolis by a federal immigration agent are sharply divided by partisan lines. It's Friday, January 9th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Thanks for being here on this Friday. Coming up on the show today, Wisconsin health officials are rejecting recent federal guidance to reduce routine childhood vaccinations. And residents of a rural community in Brown County are worried that a sudden flurry of big-dollar real estate purchase offers could mean a data center could be coming to town. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Life is finding where you belong.
I was raised in central Wisconsin, growing up along the sides of shaded ginseng crops.
Deer Camp is more than a place. It is a unique state of mind and being.
I love Milwaukee. I'm very appreciative of everything that it has given me.
It draws you closer to each other and closer to the great circle of life.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
Wisconsin politicians are reacting to the fatal shooting of a woman in Minneapolis by a federal immigration agent. As Rich Kramer reports, some Democrats are saying ICE should be dismantled, while Republicans say they're standing by law enforcement.
Several videos show 37-year-old Renee Good being shot in her SUV while attempting to drive forward as agents demanded she exit her vehicle. Federal authorities claim she tried to run them over. Democratic Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry said agents abused their power and told ICE to leave the city. Republican Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, who is running for governor, posted a social media video calling Fry's comments ridiculous.
Accountability is necessary from the top to bottom. Illegal immigration, let ICE do their work. We need to support law enforcement 100%.
Democrat Mandela Barnes, who is also running for governor, issued a statement calling ICE unaccountable masked agents. Fellow candidate Francesca Hong, a Madison state representative, called it murder and said ICE should be dismantled. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson says he's not concerned that President Donald Trump ordered a military strike on Venezuela without congressional approval. During an interview with WPR's Wisconsin Today, Johnson said Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro was given multiple chances to leave the country before he was taken from his home by U.S. forces. Johnson said Trump was not the first president to take military action without approval from Congress.
Our Constitution gives the President of the United States a great deal of power in terms of dealing with foreign relations, national security, the commander-in-chief, and previous presidents of both parties have utilized that power. President Trump's doing the same thing. And again, this operation in Venezuela was a spectacular success.
Johnson joined most Senate Republicans in voting against a war powers resolution that would restrict the president's power to act unilaterally in Venezuela. Five Republicans joined all Democrats to pass the resolution. Wisconsin health officials are rejecting recent federal guidance to reduce routine childhood vaccinations. As Hope Kerwin reports, state officials say there's no scientific evidence to justify changing current practices.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention cut the number of vaccines recommended for all children this week, saying the move brings the U.S. in alignment with other countries. But on Thursday, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services directed the state's doctors to continue following the current vaccine schedule. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ryan Westergaard says the recommendations are backed by decades of science, and they don't take away an individual's choice.
The vaccine schedules are a way to take a massive amount of evidence of scientific literature and to distill it in a way that you can put on the wall.
Westergaard says other states have taken similar stands in support of the current schedule, but he worries losing a unified recommendation around childhood vaccines could lead to needless confusion and hesitancy in patients and families. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Residents in a rural Brown County community have received offers to purchase their property from an LLC based in Delaware. As Joe Schultz reports, that's raised concerns that the developer is looking to build a data center.
Kyle Swalheim lives in an old farmhouse with a wraparound porch in the village of Greenleaf in Brown County.
a little more than a week ago, he received an offer to purchase his property for $50,000 per acre. That comes out to roughly $1.8 million for his property.
I can't replace what I have for $1.8 million. And the money at that point doesn't matter. Like, this is my paradise. This is my sanctuary.
His neighbors received similar offers, and they believe it's from a company looking to build a data center. The prospect of that type of development has drawn criticism from residents and a local business. About a dozen people attended a local planning commission meeting this week to share their concerns. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
In politics, sometimes a subtle hint can speak volumes. There were a couple dropped recently in Wisconsin, one involving a long-running ethics complaint against a former Supreme Court justice, and another about a potential candidate for governor. WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer joined Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson to discuss.
Let's start with the legal hint dropped in the case involving former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman. He's facing discipline for how he handled himself in his investigation of the 2020 election. Anya, before we get to that hint, remind us what that case is about.
Yeah, so Gabelman was hired by the Republican legislature to look into claims about misdeeds in the 2020 election in Wisconsin. He was fired in 2022 after about a year of that. And since then, he's faced an investigation from the Office of Lawyer Regulation into his conduct during that time. And last year, they recommended that he lose his law license for 3 years in response to 10 specific alleged ethics violations, things like lying and disrespecting a judge. And now that recommendation is heading to the state Supreme Court, and they can decide, yes, he'll lose his license for 3 years, or they can impose a higher penalty or a lower penalty.
So now for the hint, which came in a letter from his attorney. So what's his lawyer saying now?
So Gabelman had asked three liberal justices to recuse from hearing this disciplinary case, and Justice Susan Crawford is stepping back, but Justices Rebecca Dalit and Jana Protasiewicz are not. And the argument from Gabelman's team is that Dalit criticized Gabelman when she was running for the court before the investigation, and Protasiewicz made comments about him on the campaign trail years after. Gabelman's attorneys say that them not recusing violates his due process rights. That is the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, so that's a really big statement.
And we don't know yet what the court is going to do in that case, but let's say the court punishes Michael Gabelman, suspends his law license. What might he do?
Yeah, so there's this question of whether this motion against citing due process, a federally protected right, whether that's kind of a hint that they want to set up a federal appeal. And legal experts that I've spoken to have said that there's a very strong tradition of letting states regulate lawyers and judges themselves. So they say a federal appeal is unlikely, but this has already been such an unusual situation. It is bizarre to see a former Supreme Court justice in this position to begin with. So I guess nothing is really over until it's over.
Rich, turning to the hint dropped in the race for governor, this one involves the Republican primary, which is currently just two candidates. Remind us who's running there and who, if some people have been speculating, might run.
So the two current Republican candidates are Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Congressman Tom Tiffany of Minocqua. The remaining wild card is construction executive Tim Michaels, who reportedly met with President Donald Trump last year and was considering entering the governor's race. Michaels was endorsed by Trump in 2022 and has the ability to partially self-fund his campaigns.
And the hint, at least it sounded like that, was dropped by Reince Priebus, the influential Republican who's originally from Kenosha. He once ran the Republican National Committee, and he was notably the first White House chief of staff for President Donald Trump. He was asked on WISN-TV's Up Front about Tim Michaels. What did he have to say?
Priebus said Tiffany is the likely front runner in the GOP primary, and he doesn't expect Michaels to toss his hat in the ring.
I highly doubt that Tim Michaels will get in. I mean, I think it's getting a little late.
So those comments from Priebus now are notable for a couple reasons. He served as a senior advisor for the Michaels 2022 campaign for governor, which didn't start until late April of that year. And he also hinted that he played a role in recruiting Michaels to run against Evers in an interview on WISN Radio way back in August 2022.
Yeah, let's give a listen to that.
I've known Tim Michaels since 2004. We actually became pretty close friends and stayed close for all these years. It's a long time ago.
Definitely a shift in tone there at the very least, Rich. Why might that be?
Well, it could mean that Priebus and the GOP want to keep the field in the Republican primary from growing. It could also mean that Michaels has told Priebus he isn't planning on running again. We just don't know that. I will say Priebus said he fully expects Trump to get involved in the primary, and Priebus said Tiffany has been very loyal to the president.
That was WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer speaking with WPR political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, we'll hear about a Wisconsin musician's years touring with a band led by the man known as the Father of Bluegrass. Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a bluegrass musician.
The Mark Hembree Band is well known in Wisconsin's bluegrass music scene. Its upright bass-playing leader, Mark Hembree himself, has been playing music professionally for decades. WPR's Norman Gilliland talked with the Oconomowoc musician about his time playing with another bluegrass legend.
A few evenings ago, while waiting for a friend outside the Stoughton Opera House, I struck up a conversation with a gent whose down-home Sunday attire was topped by a weathered Stetson. Before long, we were talking about bluegrass, that confluence of African-American blues, jazz, Irish ballads, and dance tunes. It turns out that one man is known as the father of bluegrass. In the mid-1940s, Kentuckian Bill Monroe and his bluegrass boys developed all the elements that came to define bluegrass: acoustic instruments, mandolin, banjo, fiddle, guitar, and bass, breakneck tempos, rich vocal harmonies, and flashy solos known as breakdowns. The man I met, an Oconomowoc resident by the name of Mark Hembree, played bass and sang with Bill Monroe's band from 1979 to 1984. It was an experience that left a lasting impression, beginning with the audition.
Caught them just before they went on stage for their last set. Well, what can you play? I said, well, how about Road to Columbus, Monroe fiddle tune? And Baker just flew right into it, no count or anything, you know. I had grabbed the bass quick and jump in. I made it in time and played through that. And by the end of it, we were, you know, getting a good groove. So Butch Robbins, banjo player, came trotting by. He said, we're going to blast right out of here, but if you've got a business card or something, give it to the old man, you might have a job.
And I had to show you that we've got a better bass man than you thought we had. I wish you the Lord you bring my woman back home. I wish you the Lord you bring my woman back home. I'm not so lonesome, just don't want to be alone.
Hembree's touring high road included playing at the White House and performing on the landmark album Master of Bluegrass. But the high road also put him on a collision course with the rigors of touring and the complex personality of bandleader legend Bill Monroe.
Bill was not interested in whatever I had to say or think about much of anything, really. Finally, after a few weeks, I asked him, do you think I should bring my car and some stuff down from Wisconsin? And he didn't say anything. He just barely nodded.
So after 5 years, Hembree broke away and eventually formed his own band. A curious thing about bluegrass may account for its durability. Although the lyrics are usually about bankruptcy, breakups, and other personal catastrophes, the music is so darn upbeat and cheerful that it sweeps those woes away. You might not be able to ditch your troubles completely, but for a while, with bluegrass, you just might be able to outrun them.
Sundown is when the kid I've starved. Thank you.
WPR's Norman Gilliland brought us that story on bluegrass musician Mark Hembree. Learn more about his life on the road in the book On the Bus with Bill Monroe, My 5-Year Ride with the Father of Bluegrass, and you can catch the Mark Hembree Band around the Upper Midwest. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Some scattered light rain and snow over eastern Wisconsin to start the day. It'll be windy today with gusts near 20 miles per hour at times and highs in the 30s and 40s. There's also a flood watch in effect through noon for some northern Wisconsin counties today. Overnight, mostly cloudy, a chance for some light snow and lows in the teens and 20s. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for coming along for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.